Good evening. Tonight, with the help of God, I would like to direct your thoughts upward as I speak about heaven and how to get there. May the Lord bless us. In fact, we have already been blessed. I've been blessed through through your good singing, through those special numbers, and by the singing of the choir. I spent some time at Green Turtle Key, and I found out that the choir has a very special place in the hearts of the people over there. It really was wonderful. It really was of the Lord that you all went there. And then they came back here, I believe 39 of the folks from Green Turtle to the conference, and I could say that you all, in your kindness and love toward them, won their hearts. Now, heaven and how to get there. I think it is real good to turn our minds away from the strife and turmoil in this world and the problems and troubles that we have and think about heaven. I believe it is beneficial to the soul. I believe in doing so we are a blessing to others and that it is very pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Now, some people think about heaven as paradise, glory, a state, a place, a kingdom, a country, the house of the Lord or the Father's house. I love to think about it as Emmanuel's land. But regardless of how we think about heaven, it is beneficial to our souls. Now, before we turn to a few scriptures, I'd like to state that I read in a survey of, or saw the results of a survey of public opinion in America, and the poll indicated that 95% of the American people believe there is a heaven. Now, that sort of surprised me at first, but then as I thought it through, I realized that God has put eternity, God has put hereafter in the hearts of men, and therefore they do think about such things as heaven. In fact, regardless of where you go in this world, you find people religious and people believing in the hereafter. Whether it be the Japanese who believe in the plane of high heaven, or is it the Hindus or Muslims that believe in paradise, or the American Indians who believe in the happy hunting ground, there are just about all religions believe in heaven, though of course many of them are confused and don't know how to get there. We are dependent upon a revelation, what God has to say about heaven. So we might turn to John chapter 14 for a few familiar verses. One other thought about that survey, though 95% of the American people may believe there is a heaven, less than 10% are sure of going there. You'd think that if they really believed there was a heaven, they wouldn't rest until they found out that they were absolutely sure of going there. But the wonderful thing is you can be 100% sure of going to heaven. And we'll say more about that later on. Now, John chapter 14. Verse 1, these are troubled times and there are many troubled hearts, and we need words like this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then turning to the book of Revelation, the last few chapters in your Bible, chapter 21, verse 4. Fourth verse, a comforting verse in chapter 21. It says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then in chapter 22, verses 3, 4, and 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Tonight, in the way of an outline, I'd like to follow some simple questions like, where is heaven? What is it like? What will we do there? How long will it last? Who will be there? How can, or why can we be there? And finally, how can we get there? That may sound like a lot, but we're going to condense it and keep it as short as we can. But first of all, where is heaven? Well, as far as the longitude and latitude in this universe, I do not know where heaven is. In fact, the scripture does not give us the exact location of heaven. It tells us heaven is up. And we read that the Son of God came down from heaven. But of course, if you're pointing up, that poses a problem in my mind. Supposing you're down at the South Pole and you're pointing up, are you pointing away from heaven? Well, quite possibly, heaven encompasses this whole starry universe. But though it may be so very far away, that is, out beyond the starry skies, yet it can be very, very close. By the way, there was a Russian cosmonaut who at one time went out into space and came back and boldly asserted that he saw no God out there and he didn't see heaven either. Poor man, not long after that, he made a much longer trip. He died and he found out the truth. And what a contrast to those American astronauts who went out into space and read for the whole world to hear those first words of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So heaven may be way, way out there, and yet it can be only a heartbeat away. It can be only a step away. For when the believer dies, he is absent from the body, at home or present with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? One moment in this wicked old world, and the next moment in glory. And it doesn't take long to get there, even though it's far away. You know, I live on the coast of Georgia, and quite often I'll take a flight from Savannah in Georgia or Jacksonville, Florida, to somewhere like Texas or Chicago or Washington, D.C. And you know, they always send me through Atlanta. I have to change planes there and then go on to my destination. But you know, I thank God that when we go to heaven, we won't have to go through Atlanta or any other place like that. We'll have a direct flight right into the presence of the Lord. Then secondly, what will it be like in heaven? Well, here again, Scripture does not give us a great deal of detail. There is something very, very obvious about what heaven is going to be like, and I'll mention that in a few moments. But Scripture doesn't say a lot about it, perhaps because our finite minds just couldn't take it all in. For instance, if you went down to Brazil and the Amazon jungle, or if I went there and tried to tell those people who knew nothing except a river and fish and birds and monkeys and a fire and a hut and so forth, about life in America with its modern transportation system, its communication system. Oh, it's marvelous. You can be out in California and pick up a telephone and push not necessarily a dozen buttons. You can put one button and in 10 seconds be speaking to someone at Spanish Wells. Well, something like that, as well as the modern technology and medicine and business and industry, communications, transportations, computers, copiers. You try to explain that all to them, they wouldn't be able to take it in. And so it seems when the Spirit of God tries to convey heaven to us, it's something we can't take in. In fact, I was thinking today, supposing 100 preachers went to heaven, and these were eloquent preachers with tongues of angels, went to heaven for 100 days, and then came back to Spanish Wells to have 100-day conference about heaven, and then after all that, you died and went to heaven, do you know what you would have to say? The half has not been fancied, the half was not told. So even if we had it in the Scripture, and even if the preachers could tell it, we just can't begin to imagine what heaven is going to be like. But we do know that the things that mark the infernal realm are not going to be in heaven, and things that mar this temporal scene are not going to be in heaven. We read there in Revelation 21 and 22 that there's going to be no sinners in heaven. Sin will never raise its ugly head. No wickedness up there. No rebellion will ever start. No evil will ever creep in. No filth will ever be found there. It's going to be a place of absolute purity. And you know, when I first came to know the Lord, I had a real struggle with eternal security. And one day I was thinking, what if I did get to heaven? And then after 10,000 years, I did something wrong and was evicted. Well, I found an answer to that not long afterward. I found out that we are going to be like our Savior. We're going to have His moral and spiritual likeness, and it'll be impossible for us to ever sin in heaven. It's going to be a place of purity. And then there's going to be no death in heaven, no dying, no undertakers, no cemeteries, no clothes of mourning, no grief, no tears in heaven. And then there's going to be no sickness in heaven, no accidents. There's going to be no people disabled up there. And there's going to be no hospitals, no doctors, no nurses. And praise God, there's going to be no medical bills in heaven. And not only that, but when you get there, you can leave your canes and crutches and eyeglasses and wheelchairs and all your medicine bottles. You can leave that all behind because you won't need it in heaven. Now, I said there'll be no doctors or nurses in heaven, but you know what I mean by that. My wife's a nurse, and she's going to be there, but her services as a nurse will not be required. And then, thank God, there's going to be no war in heaven, no strife, no bloodshed, no violence. And then there's going to be no crime. There's going to be no jails, no courts, no judges, no lawyers, no policemen in heaven. And then there's going to be no famine, no homelessness, no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no natural disasters of any kind in heaven. In fact, there's going to be no loneliness in heaven. There's going to be no weariness in heaven. And no frustration or disappointment up there. Oh, it's going to be absolutely glorious. And we can say that the birds will never hush their singing in heaven, and the beauty of the flowers will never fade away. Now, I put that latter bit in there for you to think about. Are there going to be birds in heaven? Are there going to be flowers there? Well, if you have an opinion, let me know. We don't have a definite statement in the Scripture. But we can also say there's going to be no taxes in heaven. Over in the States, they say we're born free, but we're being taxed to death. Well, there's going to be no taxes up there. There's going to be no utility bills. There's going to be no rent or anything like that. It's going to be a place of beauty, indescribable beauty and splendor, peace and joy. And you know this? It's going to be a place of love. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. But you know, we've just begun to taste that love. Heaven will prove to be a vast ocean of love. In fact, I believe heaven is going to be a ceaseless unveiling of our great God and His tender affection and love for us. Now, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, some people think we're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp. Well, I'd like to learn to play a harp when I get up there, but there's going to be a great deal more. We're going to worship and praise and adore our God forever. In fact, the Lord's Supper, that communion service, is a sweet foretaste of heaven. By faith we see the Savior with his nail-pierced hands. In heaven we're going to see him face to face, and we're going to love and adore for all eternity. And then there's going to be fellowship in heaven. One other thought about heaven there and God. Our rewards in heaven might well be the capacity to enjoy and glorify God forever. In other words, some Christians will not have, they'll have their cups full, but they'll have smaller cups. And others will have their cups full, but larger cups. The capacity to enjoy and glorify God forever, we may well determine that right here in this life. Not only are we going to have worship in heaven, and by the way, this is something like going to meeting, we're going to have fellowship. Here we enjoy fellowship, but sometimes it's marred by friction and feelings. But up there, our fellowship is going to be perfect, 10,000 times sweeter than it is here on earth. And then we're going to learn in heaven something about the wonders of God's creation and the wonders of redemption. And I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to have the inexplicable things that happen to us on earth explained. About a year ago, a tornado devastated a section of Huntsville, Alabama. And there's one young man that I knew. He called up his wife from work and said, honey, I'm going to come right home and forget about that haircut. And she said, no, get the haircut. And we're going on that vacation tomorrow and you want to look your best. He says, well, okay. So he went to the barber shop. He came out, got into his car, and this tornado came along and not only leveled that shopping plaza, many, many other buildings and churches in the area, but it picked up that car he was in and hurled it about 500 yards. 19 people died, including that fine Christian young man. And when I went there not long afterward, the parents and that lovely wife were saying, why? Why did God allow this to happen? Well, I could say something like, God knows the best time to remove us from this world, and we must not question either his love or his wisdom. And our times are in his hands, and we should wish them there. But you know, I could not explain why that happened. And thousands of things happen to God's people and to others that I cannot understand or explain. But thank God, he has some purpose in it, in allowing these things. And when we get to heaven, we'll understand. We'll understand in the sweet by and by. Then we're going to not only learn in heaven, but we're going to serve. We read, his servants shall serve him. And if the Lord bids us to go across the universe, why, we'll gladly do it. But you know, now he bids us to serve. And oh, what unprofitable servants we often prove to be. And then when we get to heaven, finally, I believe we're going to sing. You like to sing? You like to hear the choir here sing? Well, I'll tell you something. When we get to heaven, it's going to be 10,000 times better. In fact, there's going to be a vast choir made up of innumerable saints, and you're going to be in the choir, and we're going to sing heaven's national anthem. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
will make this whole universe re-echo his praises. Oh, I can hardly wait to join that choir. Then how long will heaven last? Well, in heaven we'll never develop wrinkles or gray hair or aching bones because we're going to have new bodies. They're going to last forever, fitted and fashioned for the realm above. And David said at the end of that lovely 23rd Psalm, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever." And what did the Apostle Paul say? "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Hallelujah. You can imagine that going on forever and ever and ever and ever. And just think, after 10,000 years, it's going to be just as fresh and wonderful as when the dawn of heaven begins, when he takes us up there. It's going to be wonderful. How long will it last? Forever. Now, who will be there? Well, we know that God will be there, that the holy angels will be there, and all the saints of all the ages are going to be there. It's the home of the redeemed. And I believe we're going to not only recognize people that we knew here on earth, but I believe that everybody is going to know everybody in heaven. And who's going to be there? Moses, Abraham, Elijah, Jeremiah, Hannah, all the saints, Peter, Paul, James, John, and Mary, and then saints of the church age like Fanny Crosby and Dwight L. Moody, and oh, we could name so many. All who put their faith in the Savior, who were washed in the blood of the Lamb, are going to be in heaven. And you know, those loved ones who've gone on before, they have not passed out of existence. They are in conscious enjoyment of the Lord. And when we get there, you know what that means? A wonderful reunion. Paul doesn't hold out that hope of saying, "So shall we ever be with the Lord together." He uses that word "together" without realizing that there's going to be that reunion. You know, I used to wonder how spirits could hug spirits up there. But you know, we're going to have those new bodies, and we'll be able to hug those children, those wives and husbands and fathers and mothers, grandparents who've gone on before. Hallelujah. Now, who will be there? All the saints, all the redeemed. And now may I ask, will you be there? Are you 100% sure that you will be there? My friend, this is life's most important matter, whether you're going to heaven or not. I'll never forget speaking about heaven here many, many years ago. I think it was in an old wooden chapel out there. And when the meeting was over, the brethren gathered up near the front, and they started talking about the message. And one of them said, "Oh, what will it be like to be up there?" And then one of them said, "Yes, and what will it be like not to be there?" Yes, there's an awful alternative. And the sad thing is, it not only goes on forever and ever and ever, the judgment of the lost, but everyone will realize they could have been in heaven. Now, why can we be in heaven? Why can we be in heaven? We can be there because God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son, His eternal Son, to be our Savior. And we can there be there because He came down from the realms of glory in submission to the Father to lay down His life, a sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross. He was willing to suffer that infinite agony. Not only that of the pain and shame men inflicted and heaped upon Him, but that pain of having all our sins laid upon Him. That is why we can be there, and because God has made the terms so simple and clear. So how do we get to heaven? What are those terms? I was at a camp several years ago, a group of boys, about 60 or 70 boys. And we're talking about heaven, and I said, now, how do we get to heaven? And one boy shot up his hand, and so I gave him the opportunity to answer. And he said, that's simple, Mr. Fred. He says, all you do is die. Well, there's a little more to that. Before we die or before the Lord comes, we must be ready. We must be saved. We must have eternal life. As someone as well said, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So how do we get to heaven? We believe the gospel, the good news, the message that God requires men to believe. And that includes repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance, it's ultimate honesty. It's agreeing with God, having a change of mind to agree with Him, whereby we acknowledge that we are lost, guilty, helpless sinners, and can only be saved His way. Now, repentance is mysterious, and yet it's essential. And you need repentance. And after you do that, when you see you're lost, then it's not so difficult to put your faith in the living Savior who died for you on Calvary's cross. You know, I struggled for a year to save myself. I went to men and asked them to help me. And I prayed and I read my Bible. And it took me a long time to see the simplicity of it. But one night, walking down a street, I realized I was lost, guilty, and helpless. And I looked up into a starlit sky and told God I believe on His Son. And that's all it took. I was the happiest young man in all the world that night. And my friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not 100% sure of going to heaven, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I can guarantee that you will be the happiest person in Spanish Wells and maybe the world at that. 100% sure. Why? Because of the eternal efficacy of the work of Christ. His blood shed at Calvary's cross makes us safe. And then because of the unfailing promise of God, we were singing it at the beginning, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and God cannot lie. Oh, it's wonderful, my friend. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything except put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You don't have to lift a little finger to get to heaven. You don't have to bat an eyelash. Just put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, if you do not understand that, you may be thinking, well, you tried to make it simple, but I still don't understand. Well, I'd like to help you some more. Just let your need be known as you go out the door, and I'd be glad to come to your house, or you can come here. I'd like to speak to you about it. Don't put it off, my friend, if you are concerned. Because tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may be too late. I wonder if we could sing in closing, number 305. There is a land that is fairer than day. Number 305. I have the right number. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then say the chorus for the end. 300. Song, I think of something that happened a few years ago. As some of you know, we lost our son Paul. Brother Wirt Ellis came and spoke at the funeral at his request, and he also picked out some songs for us to sing. We had one man sing this song, but when we got to the end, everybody was singing the chorus. Let's sing it again, shall we? In the we pray. Our God, we thank Thee that there is a heaven to gain as well as a hell to shun. And we thank You that we can gain heaven because You gave Your Son to be our Savior, and He willingly died the death of the cross with all its infinite agony. And our God, we can't begin to imagine what heaven is going to be like, but we know it's going to be an ocean of love. It's going to be indescribable beauty and joy and glory. And as the songwriter has said, we will not gaze at glory, but at the King of grace. not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. We thank thee, our God, that we'll see our Savior, and we'll see our loved ones again. Lord, I pray if there be one here who does not belong to this happy band, O God, invite them to heaven by thy Spirit tonight. May they put their faith in the Savior.